Good morning. It is good to be with you without snow, ice, or fog. Does anyone else feel the same way as I do? Does anyone else feel like we're living in Ireland or England? Oh, it's so good to be with you. I have a word of God for you. I found in Matthew's gospel, the 14th chapter, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew details the happenings of Christ, the good news of Christ, with a very Jewish flavor, showing us that he is the real King of the Jews. Jesus and his apostles just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He then sends his disciples away for a moment. They go out to sea and cannot get back to shore. And Jesus goes to them. As they come back to land, here is where the scripture picks off for us in verses 34 and 36. The scripture, God's word tells us, his counsel for us reads, "And when they had crossed over," that is the Sea of Galilee, "they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well." Just a few short verses, but there is a lot here for us to see in recognizing Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, gets all the biblical fanfare we talk about, those in children's chapel. We don't talk about Gennesaret very often. And if you look biblically, there's not a lot about Gennesaret. It's one of those places you just drive through and you forget about it. But there's a lot happening I want to show you. In fact, these three verses, the Bible shows us who Jesus is. He's already been declared to be the Son of God in the prior verses. It shows us who Jesus is, what happens when people meet Jesus. And also, it shows us our role in the process. It shows us what to do. And I'm going to explain it biblically and show you thoroughly what all this is. First, this big idea, point number one, meeting with Christ results in transformed lives. You don't have to go to seminary to present that point, do you? That's a very obvious fact. When people meet with Christ, the results are transformation. People had life changed when they met Jesus. No doubt about it. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. There were 12 baskets of leftover food remaining. Jesus changed lives. They were fed. They saw the miraculous. When his disciples were out on the water, 3 to 4 miles away from the shoreline, and he walked across the water, that is something they'll never forget. Their lives were changed. They were transformed. They were not the same person they once were because they met Jesus. Gennesaret. Three verses in Matthew's gospel. When Jesus stepped on that rocky shoreline and walked inland, there were transformations. It says in the text that those who were sick were made well. So the exact opposite happened because of the catalyst, who is Christ. He initiated the change. He transformed their lives. Now, Gennesaret, just so you know, is on the northwestern portion of the Sea of Galilee. It's like a 4 by 2 mile stretch. It's between the shoreline and the mountains. Very fertile. Ancient texts or works of antiquity said they had great produce, great vegetation. But what is known about Gennesaret, that's where people recognized Jesus. And they brought the sick, those that were injured, those that were paralyzed. And when they interacted with Jesus, they were transformed. They were not the same. We have to point out a fact about this. In the corresponding Gospel of Mark, it's not just Gennesaret, but it's all over Galilee, which would be the central region of Israel. This would be where the commoners live. This is not Jerusalem. This is not a coastal city. This is not a vacation destination. This is where the people work and live. That's Galilee. So not was it only Gennesaret where Jesus transformed lives. It's all over the region. When Jesus came into situations, people walked away changed. Mark chapter 6. Here is the parallel account of this text. Mark gives a few more details. It says, and when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him. This is Gennesaret. And ran about, listen to this, the whole region. And began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Verse 56. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Well, what happened? They were changed. They were transformed. They were different when they met the Son of God. Completely different. One of my shows I like to watch is the Andy Griffith Show. And to get ready for the sermon, I watched 3 episodes on Friday, just so do material content research, you know what I'm saying? One of my favorite episodes, I don't know if you've seen it, is Aunt Bee and the Medicine Man. How many have seen that episode of the Andy Griffith Show? In that episode, Aunt Bee has a friend, the same age, same situations of life. Her friend passed away, and she was feeling the ramifications of her age. Sheriff Taylor, Andy, says, go to the doctor. She says, no, he'll just say, I'm no spring chicken anymore. And it just so happened in Mayberry on that very day, there's a man by the name of Colonel Harvey. We would call him a snake oil salesman. He comes into Mayberry selling miracle elixirs, cure-alls. Aunt Bee buys 2 bottles. She then consumes half of 1 elixir, and as the scene unfolds, Andy goes back home and realizes Aunt Bee is feeling pretty good. She's on the piano. She and Opie are singing and enjoying themselves, and she stands up from the piano bench. She is not quite all right on her feet. She kind of sways to and fro because of that elixir. Now, Barney and Andy knew something is amiss. They just couldn't prove it. They interact with Colonel Harvey for a bit in their home or in his home. And they realize something is wrong with this cure-all, this miracle elixir. They send it to be tested. And they then realize it's just alcohol. This man has repackaged it and selling it as a medicinal cure. During that time, Aunt Bee called all the women of the ladies' auxiliary to come to her house. And Sheriff Taylor walks in, and all these women are different. The quiet, meek church ladies are having a good time. And so Andy declares it to be a raid. He then takes them to prison where they can sober up, and they then take care of Colonel Harvey. What happened in that episode, there was something that caused them to be changed. Aunt Bee was so sad at the beginning until there was a change. All of her friends, her ladies of the church, they were different because there was a change. I want to show you that in the text, Here, it's a simple truth, but it's so powerful. When people meet with Jesus, they change. It's not temporary. It's not just in Gennesaret. Not just Capernaum. It's Galilee. And if we're honest with biblical history, Israel is different when they meet with Jesus. Asia Minor, Europe, Africa, North America, all these places, when Jesus steps in, I will tell you, they become different. Jesus changed not just their physical outlook, he gave them so much more. Let me prove this to you biblically. Matthew chapter 4. In the text, it says that, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel, which is the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease, every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics. And he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Wherever Jesus goes, he changes people. And it's not just the miraculous healings or the feedings. There's a great truth: wherever Jesus goes, he gives them the good news, the thing that changes everything. That truth that if any person would come to the suffering servant, the Messiah, he will heal them of their afflictions. Jesus changes everything. And whenever someone gets introduced to Jesus, they are transformed. They are changed. Back to Matthew's gospel in the 14th chapter, verses 35 and 36. And when the men of that place, Gennesaret, recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Meeting with Christ results in transformed lives because he's the Son of God. And number two, our job is bringing others to him. Now, Christ is the only one who can bring healing. He's the only one that can bring transformation. It's not us. We can't change anybody. All we can do is bring them to Jesus. So the people of Gennesaret, and really the region of Galilee, here's what they were doing in the text, in the parallel text of Mark's gospel. They were just bringing people to Jesus. Hey, that man is healing people. Let's just get him there. It says the sick, the paralyzed, the ill, the downtrodden. Christ healed them. And the people kept bringing the sick. Why did they do that? They had a high deductible plan. What else can they do? I mean, seriously, what would you do? Jesus can heal you of cancer. I don't have that, but I know someone who does. Jesus can heal your mind. Jesus can take away your addiction. Now, I don't have those things, but I'll be glad to help somebody meet him. That's what the text is showing us. These people, the men of Gennesaret, the region of Galilee, these people just bring people to Jesus because he's the one that transforms people. And they're finding ways for others to be introduced. And that's all it is. Let me introduce you to your new doctor. Now, it may not be legal on paper, but this is the man that's going to treat you. Does he have a degree? It'll be okay. He's been practicing medicine for a long time. Let me introduce you to my friend. He did this with other people, He can do it to you. And that's, if we're honest, talking about our job is bringing others to Christ. If we're honest, that's all ministries and missions are, is finding ways to get people to Jesus. We're going to have missions and ministry fair in between services. I enjoy it. Not because I sign up for stuff. I enjoy it because of the fellowship. I'm not talking about the refreshments. I love that too. I like being with people and talking to them. Every mission and ministry, if we boil it down to one issue, is bringing other people to Christ. No matter what you sign up for, in some form or fashion, that ministry is going to push people to Christ. It's as simple as helping make coffee. Well, how does that introduce people to Christ? Because it's hospitable. It welcomes people into our church, to our facility. It's easier to talk over a cup of coffee. And we can welcome them and then bring them to worship. We can create dialogue, witness to them. It's just a way to introduce them to Christ. The same way as going on a mission trip. Just a little bit different. I want you to go find a way to bring others to Christ. That's all it is. And even to the preaching ministry or teaching, it's the same thing, introducing people to Jesus, because we already affirm this. We don't change people. It's Christ who changes them. Welcoming people in, going around the world to point others to Christ. All we do is introduce others to Him. At basic training in Fort Benning, Georgia, I was witnessing to my friend. His name is Luke Olney. He was raised in church. We had a lot of things in common. I would call him a Yankee, because that's the way he was. He was from the North. He barely got into the Army because of his weight. He was not overweight. He was underweight. Could barely make weight to get into the armed services. Some of us don't have that problem. And a witness to Luke, he was raised in a Christian home. He knew the gospel message, and I'd share with him what I knew. I just finished 1 year of college. I didn't know a whole lot of scripture. I did the best I could. I said, man, why don't you get saved? He says, no. I want to talk to a chaplain. I said, okay, let's go. And I said, Chaplain Davis, who was our chaplain where we were at, I said, this is Private Olney. He wants to speak with you. And the chaplain talked to him a bit, led him in a prayer, and Luke prayed to receive Christ. And I was like, is it that easy? All I've got to do is introduce him to the chaplain. That's all ministry is. That's all preaching is. That's all teaching. That's all making coffee and welcoming people. In every single ministry, it's just bringing people to Christ. Whether it's introducing them, or in the text, it's not just introducing, it's interceding. Because in the text in Matthew's gospel, but primarily Mark's gospel, it says, and they implored him to provide healing. It's not only introducing them and setting up the stage for ministry and missions to happen. They implored him, and I would say they interceded for somebody else. It looks a little different for us, but we can intercede for those who need a meeting with Jesus Christ. Who are you praying for? Who are you interceding, standing in the gap for them to get to Christ? Odds are, since we're not praying for anybody, we're not going to reach anybody. Can I be honest with us? If we don't have a goal in mind and we have people we want to reach, we're probably not going to reach them. But since Jesus changes lives, he transforms people, if we just introduce people to him, if we intercede on their behalf, Jesus will change them. I want you to find a ministry and mission to get involved with, to introduce people to Christ, to intercede, pray for. Who are you bringing to Jesus? You say, well, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Yes, they do. They just don't know it yet. They're broke down and they need healing. All you got to do is introduce them to the great physician. You see, Jesus transforms lives. That's what he does. That's who he is. Our job is to introduce them, to set up the meeting. Go to Matthew 14. We got to keep this sermon moving so we can get to coffee and refreshments and fellowship. And then when the men of that place recognized him, verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick. Point number three of the text, everything starts when we recognize the Lord. And when I say everything, I'm talking about missions and ministry and relationship. Everything starts when we recognize the Lord. In Gennesaret, which is on the northwest portion of the Sea of Galilee, it says immediately when Jesus stepped on that rocky beach, the men of that community recognized him. To me, that's an abnormality of Scripture. Doesn't make sense. How are they going to recognize him? He's never been there. The word recognize is really two words into one. It's a preposition with the root verb, to know. And I looked at that and I thought, how do they know him? Something's not right. Now, Scripture is true. The question, and this is the key to unlocking the truth, the power of this passage. How did they recognize him? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I think the vital piece of evidence is the fringe of his garment. And I will prove this biblically. Deuteronomy chapter 22. In the Old Testament, the Lord gives law concerning the people of Israel. He says in verse 12, you shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. There's the command on what to wear, how to behave, how to be holy, and one such command is the tassels on the robe. The New Testament translation, same words, is the fringe of his garment. Tassels, fringe, hem, it's all clothing. What was the command of the Old Testament became corrupt in the New Testament. In fact, later in the Gospel in Matthew 23, Jesus is warning the true followers of God about fake religious people, those that are self-righteous. And the scribes and the Pharisees, he calls them out. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And in Matthew 23, verse 5, he gives us precise information concerning their self-righteousness. They do all these deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Now, the phylacteries were leather cases. They would literally bind on their forehead with verses or prayers in them, put it on their head, or they strap it around their chest, put it over their heart or over one of their arms. That way, when people saw them, they're like, oh, man, he is praying. He's got God's word close to him. He is righteous. And the larger those pieces of clothing or accessories became, they thought, man, the bigger, the more holy. Not only that, not only the phylacteries, but the tassels or the fringes of his garment. He said, that's not the point. the hem of the garment, the tassels on the robe. You've missed the point if you think it's all about clothing and your self-righteousness. Let me bring you to the heart of that issue in Numbers 15. Numbers 15, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you're inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. What was the command that had become corrupt? We go back to the heart of issue in Numbers. It's to trust in the Lord, not in yourself. It's a reminder to pursue holiness in the way you dress, and a reminder of living rightly with God. Still, how did those guys recognize Jesus? Because of the fringe of his garment, the hem of his cloak, the tassel on his robe. You say, prove it. All right, I will. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, the tassel on his robe. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. That's in Matthew chapter 9. We're in Matthew 14. In Gennesaret, that woman's not from Gennesaret, she's from Capernaum. And for years she had suffered. No doctor could heal her, no one could help her. And she said in her soul, the audacious response, if I can only touch the tassel on his robe. Something similar to this, I had a church member go to Israel and brought back this prayer shawl for me. So if I could only touch the tassel of his robe, not the corrupt ones of the scribes and the Pharisees, that man is so holy. He represents God himself. If I could touch those tassels, I'll be healed. And she fights through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, the tassel on his robe. And immediately power goes out from Christ unto her, and she is immediately healed. And he says, your faith has made you well. How did those men recognize Jesus in Gennesaret? I submit to you, in all honesty, I think it's her. She's the culprit. It doesn't say this in the text, but I suppose it is there. When they ran up and touched his garment, they grabbed the tassel on his robe. He said, oh, she sent you. You see, the earthquake of her faith in Capernaum shook that city. Days and miles later, it shakes not only Gennesaret, friends, it shakes Galilee. If they would just run up and touch that garment, they'll be made well. I believe biblically, in all honest theology, it's her. She's behind every bit of this because of her faith. She says, if you will look out for this man, he's in our area. He is not much to look at. There is no majesty about him. But in your heart, if you believe, and if you run up and grab a hold of him and his holiness, not self-righteousness, go after that holy man of God. If you do that, you'll be made well. And they brought multitudes of people. She's behind every bit of this. If you find him, grab a hold of him. The tremors, the aftershocks of that faith earthquake in Capernaum are still rippling throughout the area. Chapter 14, that's not even the same city. It's in the same region. Jesus never went to Gennesaret. It all starts by recognizing Christ. They recognized him. They knew of him. Have you recognized Christ? Have you seen him? Not visually, but have you seen him with your heart? Have you seen him through the lens of faith, where you believe, you recognize him, you know him? All you've got to do is to believe. Scripture tells us to place your faith in him, to trust in him. That's all you got to do, to find him as your Lord and your Savior. And Scripture says whenever you meet with Christ, you're changed, you're transformed. In fact, Paul says if any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all are made new. Have you recognized Christ? Now, for those who have made Christ as Lord and Savior, do people recognize Christ through you? When they see you, do they see your Lord? When they see you, are you actively introducing them to Christ? Are you interceding for them? How are people going to recognize Christ without us? How did the men of Gennesaret know about Jesus without her in Matthew 9? Introduce others. Intercede for others. Sign up for something. You say, I'm so tired of serving and ministering, then pray. Intercede. You say, I'm tired of praying, I'm ready to do something. Well, good, go sign up. Come help me with our prayer ministry. Be a part of something you never thought, I would never do that in my life, but here I am doing it. Find out, where does God want you to help? You say, well, maybe I don't want to help anywhere. Find some people you like to be around and go do stuff with them. As they're involved in ministry, you get roped into it. It's not very spiritual, but it works. Introduce people to Jesus so they can recognize him and know him. Maybe there's a decision of the faith that God is impressing upon your heart. Maybe it's your relationship or lack thereof. If you need to make a decision about your salvation, your personal relationship with Christ, I want to talk to you about that. If there's steps after that you need to take, need to pray about, please do so. But I believe one of our big applications is to introduce others to Jesus, but also to implore him to intercede on their behalf so they can come to know him. Father, we thank you for the text. We thank you for your word. God, I pray our faith would be like that woman in Capernaum, that all we have to do is reach out to you. Father, may we not trust in our own self-righteousness, but may we trust in your Christ. And Father, may we look for the real transformation of the relationship only found in you. Father, may we delight ourselves in you. And if someone needs to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior today, whether they are in person or listening online, I pray they would. I pray they'd trust in him. Father, if there's decisions to be made, I pray you impress it upon our hearts by the leading of your Spirit. But Father, I pray that through the word, through the worship service, we'd be challenged to introduce others. And Father, I pray not only for us to take next steps in ministry and involvement, but Lord, would your house be a house of prayer as we intercede for many. Father, we pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those that need healing physically. But Lord, spiritually, we pray for that. Lord, may we simply bring them to you. And Father, if we can't bring them to you yet, may we bring them to your throne in prayer. And Father, it challenges. I pray that we don't leave the same as we entered. I pray that we'd be different. Jesus, impress it upon our hearts to live transformed lives. Father, may we do all of these things because of your Son. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.